Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Ann Klockner with Legal Aid Works is back with us this morning. It's Monday, and it must be Legal Aid Works Day. Ann Klockner, good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Ted. I'm glad to be here.
We were just talking about the fact that we're not sure. We think this is week five of doing these shows, but we're not sure.
That's right. It's I think everyone is dealing with that sense of not being oriented to your usual routine.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. So, we'll start off just based on the day, just the fact that we're into a new month, and we talked several weeks ago about housing and just dealing with either rent or mortgages, and that becomes another issue because we're into a new month.
You bet. I think that what looked like a problem 5 weeks ago when we were talking about housing issues, could a landlord kick you out? Could you go into foreclosure on your mortgage because you missed a payment? All of those sounded possible, but now it's really getting to the point where either you've had reduced income or no income for long enough that this is starting to be a real issue for everyone going through this. If you've lost your job or if you have fewer hours, the first thing you're going to start worrying about is your mortgage payment or your rent payment.
One of the things I know we've talked about really as we've gone through just the kind of the myriad of issues that come up with this, and one of the things that each week you talk about is no matter what the situation, stay in touch. In this case, with either your landlord or your mortgage company.
And that's excellent point to make. It's also important when you're doing that to document that activity. And what I mean by that is don't just go down to the property manager's office and have a chat with them. Because there's no record of that. You haven't put that in writing. So I'm a big fan of an old method, which is the letter sent certified mail. It's a little bit clunky. You have to fill out that green card. You have to pay a little extra in postage. But it really does prove when you sent something and what you sent. And when the landlord or the mortgage company signs it, that little green card that they get, it proves that they got it. So you can't later on be in a situation where somebody says, wait a minute, you say you got in touch with us? I don't remember that. It's super important to be in touch with your landlord or be in touch with your mortgage holder. It's even more important once you've done that to follow it up with a letter that summarizes what you said, summarizes what they've said, and make sure that you've documented that activity.
Well, when you talk now that it's been a couple of months, because initially you worry about the people, like you said, a lot of the people who just live month to month. But like you said, mm-hmm. now we're getting into a couple of months into this, and that includes now a lot more people that may not have that amount of money in savings or on hand to be able to handle much more of this.
Yeah, it's really become something that I think is going to affect a lot more people. For people who are owning their homes, who are paying a mortgage, most mortgages, not all, but most mortgages are covered by a foreclosure moratorium that Congress passed in March, just at the end of March. The moratorium runs from March 18th through May 17th. It may be extended. The moratorium covers both judicial foreclosures and foreclosures conducted by auction. And the moratorium covers borrowers with a federally backed mortgage loan. And it also covers tenants living in a property with a loan like that. So a federally backed mortgage loan is a loan that's owned, insured, or guaranteed by one of the following entities: either the Department of Housing and Urban Development, we call that HUD, the Department of Veteran Affairs, the Department of Agriculture, Fannie Mae, or Freddie Mac. A lot of people have mortgages from one of those entities. So that would be the first thing to know if you're a homeowner. The most important document in your mortgage is your deed of trust. I really hope that people can find that document in their all their papers in their house. That tells you both your and your lender's rights and obligations about your mortgage. Just a super good idea to have. It's kind of like knowing what the terms of your lease are when you're a renter. You really need to have a copy of your lease so that you know what the terms of it are. And when you're a homeowner, your deed of trust is the thing that sets out all the obligations of the borrower and the mortgage holder. So the deed of trust is going to list all the ways in which you have to follow procedures in order to be foreclosed on. So take a look at that. See what they require. They have to give you at least 14 days notice of the time, place, and date of a foreclosure sale, for example. In Virginia, they don't have to take you to court to foreclose on you. So it doesn't matter whether the court is opened or not. But if your mortgage is a federally backed mortgage, you at least have some breathing room until May 17th.
When we first talked about this a month or so ago, May 17th seemed far away. Suddenly, it doesn't seem that long from now.
Right. And they may extend it. There's some real possibilities that, you know, there will be further relief down the road. It doesn't mean you aren't going to be obligated to pay your mortgage. Your missed payments are going to have to be paid in some way. They just don't have the ability at this point to foreclose on you. So what would be very useful right now is if you can scrape together any money at all, pay it toward your housing, either your rent or your mortgage, because that's what keeps you with a roof over your head. At some point, the courts are going to open, the foreclosure moratorium is going to end, and then they're going to want all their money. So it's super useful to think ahead and say, okay, what are the most important things for me to spend my money on right now? And the very first thing you should be thinking about is how can I come up with something like that to make sure that I can pay when this moratorium lifts.
When the moratorium lifts, and I guess it will vary from say from landlord to landlord. Can they demand that? Or can a landlord just say at the end of this, you know, you owe this amount, and I want it now.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. We're already thinking about what the next step is. So when the courts open again, now, right now there is a court closure order in effect for everything but emergencies through May 17th. We don't know if that's going to be extended. Might be. We don't know. Maybe there will be a phased opening for certain kinds of cases. We just don't know. What we are anticipating is a lot of the court cases that were supposed to be heard in March and April, and of course in May as well, are going to get pushed to a few dates in June, and it's going to be just really crazy. It's going to be a lot of cases all piling up, and the landlords do have the right to the rent. There is nothing in any of these court closures that say that there's rent forgiveness or that the landlords won't get paid. It just says we're putting off evictions until the courts open up again. So it is absolutely possible that landlords will come in big numbers because they need their money too. Mm-hmm. And they're going to file those cases. And I mean, one of the things to keep in mind is that you can't be evicted in Virginia unless there is a court hearing. So the landlord can't use self-help methods by just yelling at you to leave or turning off the utilities so you don't have any running water or electricity in your apartment, so you have to leave in order to have basic hygiene. They can't do that. They have to first go to court. They have to give you a notice that says, hey, you have 5 days to pay or quit. They call it a 5-day pay or quit. And then they take you to court. When they take you to court, the court can issue an eviction order if you do not have the money.
We need to take a quick break, and we will continue on with this line of talk. Ann Klockner is here this morning with Legal Aid Works, legalaidworks.org. Great website that gives you all kinds of links and information about what is going on in these pandemic days. More on Newstalk 1230 WFVA. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Town Talk on Newstalk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Got a question for today's guest? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Ann Klockner with us this morning. She is the executive director with Legal Aid Works, legalaidworks.org. As we go along this morning, we're going to talk about the good work they do in the community and Giving Day that is tomorrow. We'll get into that as we go along. Good stuff this morning, though, about talking about housing and renting and mortgages and all. This is a real scary time, like you say, though, for a lot of people who really, when you think about it, probably a couple of months ago, never thought that this would be an issue. Like you say, if you've lost your job now for a couple of months, this is a real big concern.
It absolutely is. I think that we hear stories all the time about people who are facing something as major as an eviction or a foreclosure, and it's very, very unsettling. It's about keeping a roof over your head. It's very fundamental. It has to do with your health, your ability to function well. It's really a challenge when that is on the bubble and you just feel like there's no alternatives. But there are, and there's several organizations out there who are offering at least some help. And what we're about is telling people about the legal aspect of that. We are not in a position to give out money to help people pay their rent, but we want to make sure that everyone gets the opportunity to find out a little bit about their rights. What can the landlord do? What can the landlord not do? Those are all really super critical during this time.
I hope you remember it off the top of your head, but a couple of weeks ago, you gave us just this really great list of things you should kind of a hierarchy of how you should pay things as in times like this, and housing was number one.
Yeah, so you are going to have to borrow from Peter to pay Paul. There's no question that there's going to be some tough choices about all those bills that are on your kitchen table and how you're going to pay for them. What we're suggesting always, this is a rule that we've mentioned many times to our clients, is absolutely number one, pay your rent first or pay your mortgage first. it's very important to keep those payments up because it's really hard for us to do anything when you simply can't make those payments. Then the next thing I would pay is an outstanding utility bill. By doing those two things, paying the rent and paying the utilities, your family will at least have a place to live. The next thing I would focus on is the food and other necessities of life, like medication, things like that. I would then focus on my car payment if I don't want it repossessed and I need it for work or to get to the store. And then only after you're done with those key critical bills should you pay any other debts. Now, ideally, you pay all your debts and you pay them every month and you're on track. But if you're struggling, prioritize them in that order: rent, utilities, food and medication, car payment, and then everything else.
A few minutes ago, we were talking about the May 7th moratorium, and you know, you said if that were to stay the same, that at the end of your landlord can say, "I want it all." I guess, and in every situation is obviously different, but that you hope that if you have kept up, if you've paid something, if you've stayed in communication with the person, you hope that maybe by doing some of that, that at the end, that that person will be a little bit more lenient.
Well, you're hoping that, and that goes a long way toward prioritizing the communication that we talked about at the beginning. The more you communicate with the landlord, not just try to go in hiding, the better, because it could be that you can work something out. It may be that you can enter into a payment plan that allows you to pay your past due rent in smaller partial payments when you have income again. You can offer that to him or her and make sure that, again, you put it in writing. There are examples of how to do that on the Virginia Poverty Law Center website. So that's vplc.org. It has a whole fact sheet on asking your landlord to postpone your rent payment because you've lost your earnings due to the COVID-19 pandemic. And really what it comes down to is you're giving them an offer. You're offering them, okay, I know my mortgage or my rent is $1,200. If I pay you $1,200 starting in June, and then I add on to that another maybe half of that, I can maybe get back up to speed by the end of August. You know, something like that. So it's concrete. It isn't just, oh, I'll get it to you sometime. But if you come to them with a true, realistic plan for when this starts kind of easing up and I can get back to work, here's how this is going to be paid off. I'm intending to pay everything by the end of this year's lease.
Well, and boy, this brings up, and you never know when something, I mean, this is just so unprecedented, but, you know, now's the time. This is when you want to have been a good renter, or, you know, you just want to have good relationship, and you want to have a good record behind you to like you say, to possibly, you know, have some leniency in some of this.
It helps. It sure does. And it also helps if you're able to get any kind of support from, let's say, other charities or churches or something so that you can show them money.
Yeah.
It may not be all the money, but it can be some of the money. And if the landlord is willing to accept some, and a lot of landlords are making that calculation now, should I accept a little bit or should I just say, off with your head, I don't have any ability to make a deal, it's all or nothing. Hopefully landlords will realize, well, there's something in getting part of my rent that's better than nothing.
Ann Klockner with Legal Aid Works here this morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA. We've talked about the situation that some people are in who are staying in hotels and motels and running into issues.
Sure. And most people might not be aware that there is a real kind of community out there of people who live in hotels. That's their house. That's their home. That's their apartment. Even though it looks like a hotel or motel from the outside, people are living there full time. It's not ideal. It isn't a great way to raise kids in a very small environment. You probably don't have a lot of cooking options there. But people are doing that because they don't require a security deposit to get started. So if you're paying them every week or every month, it might be easier to afford that. What happens when you live in a hotel or a motel is that you are more vulnerable. The rights that tenants have in Virginia don't start applying to you unless you've lived in that hotel or motel for more than 90 days. Now, once you have lived there for more than 90 days, all of the protections of the Virginia renter laws come into effect. We've had lots of calls recently from people who are being evicted from their rentals in motels when they stayed there for more than 90 days. And the landlords there or the motel operators are just kicking them out.
Yeah.
And if they don't know that they have the right to stay there until the moratorium lifts, that they can't evict them without going to court, just like any other renter, they're going to be taken advantage of.
Well, that's why it's good to know these kind of things, and especially something like that that's so specific that you have some protections after 90 days. I didn't know that.
Right, and I'll bet you anything that when somebody has needs to be in a motel, the motel owner isn't letting them know that when they sign up.
LegalAidWorks.org, the website. Ann Klockner, the executive director with Legal Aid Works, is here this morning. We have much more. We're going to talk more about what they're involved in these days and also talk about Giving Day tomorrow. We'll do that when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It is 8:31.
Okay, listen, we got to talk about something.
Talk done right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Miss an episode of Town Talk? No problem. Just subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Music. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Ann Klockner with us, the executive director with Legal Aid Works. And we were just talking off the air, and this is just the type of information each week that you've been giving us is just fantastic as far as just really just these are day in, day out kind of things we're dealing with. And I do appreciate you being such an expert on all of this and being able to come in and share all this, because it's really good information in these days.
Well, you're very, very welcome. We're very happy to do that. And we really appreciate your ability to give us the platform so that we can get this really important information out to people. The worst possible thing is for you to not understand what your rights are and to make choices that you would have done differently if you had known how things really are.
Yeah. Yeah, and sometimes you don't have time to process what's happening, and that's why it's good to just have some knowledge on all of this. Talk about Legal Aid Works and what you do.
Sure. So we are a private nonprofit. Legal Aid Works has been around since 1973, and we exist because there is absolutely no right to a free lawyer when you're poor and you have a civil legal problem. A lot of people think that there is a guaranteed right to a free lawyer when you're poor, but that right only applies if you've been accused of a crime. So if you're facing something like an illegal eviction or a foreclosure or a family law case like custody or support or protective order against an abusive spouse. Those are all civil legal cases, and you have to go in on your own if you can't afford a lawyer. That's not only scary and intimidating, but it's also a good way to lose, because the studies have shown that when you don't go into court with a lawyer, even if you have the law on your side and the facts on your side, the chances are much higher that you will come away with a bad result, because not because you don't have any ability, it's because you don't have the specialized training of knowing what the law is. So our mission is to level that legal playing field so that anyone, regardless of their income, can get a fair shake in the civil court system.
A lot of people may be familiar with your office, your Fredericksburg office on Lafayette Boulevard, but there's you cover a wide area, and you and your attorneys are out there, and you're all scrappy and doing what you can do. But unfortunately there's not many of you.
No, there aren't. There's not nearly enough. We have very scarce resources, and so we make do with what we have. We do a lot with a little. One of our board members once said we are too little butter scraped over too much toast. And that really describes how it feels. So we have 17 counties that we cover. And in those 17 counties, there are 51 courts. And we're trying to cover that now with just 8 lawyers, and that's very difficult to do. So we end up doing a lot of triage, just like an emergency room without enough doctors. So we have to make a tough choice about what are the most important issues. We can't be in court every day in all of those 51 courts, so we have to make choices. And the two areas that we focused on the most are representing domestic violence victims and making sure that people are preventing homelessness. So those are our core issues, but we try to also help in as many other areas as we can. The list of the things that we handle are on our website at legalaidworks.org.
And also at that website, you'll see right when you go there, there's a where you can click and really find out a lot of the a lot of the things we've been talking about, kind of COVID-19 issues related, that gives you a lot of good websites and also talks about some of these issues. The other thing is, over the years that you and I have known each other, you've brought in some of the staff attorneys there, and boy, everybody is just top of the line, and I'm always amazed and think these are people that are choosing to fight these battles, and you have a real impressive team.
I think we do. I'm super proud of them, and I'm glad you're impressed with them too, because they are really experienced. They have to be. They're in court all the time. And so a legal aid lawyer is going to probably have more courtroom experience than a second or third or fourth year associate at a big law firm. Just because we don't have the resources to just let them sit in the office. They're always in court, always fighting hard for our clients, and that means that they have some experience. They're really focused on making sure that people's rights are protected. That bugs all of us when we aren't when we're feeling like somebody's not being treated fairly. That just is something that motivates all of us at our office to do what we do, because we really see our clients are very hardworking, they're tough, they're resilient, they really want the best for their families, just like anybody else. And when we can help them get a good result, it's just the best feeling in the world. Our attorneys work really hard. They've found it a little difficult in this environment to be away from the office. So we're open. We are accepting clients. We are accepting applications for service. It just is all done remotely. So we ask you to go to our website at legalaidworks.org and click on the Get Help tab, and that lists all of our intake procedures, how you can call or go online and see if you're eligible. And then we will meet with you virtually over the phone. We even had a court case last week, and you think, well, the courts are closed. They are open for domestic violence cases, and we had a protective order hearing last week.
Wow. Giving Day is tomorrow, and that's another opportunity for people to get involved in help you in your cause.
It certainly is. We are in great need of resources now because we are losing some other parts of our budget and the money that we normally expect to get from, let's say, local governments is probably going to be slashed quite a bit. There's definitely some constricting of resources. So we are really grateful when people can spend a little bit to help us out, and every little bit helps. We've got two things happening tomorrow. One is a global event called Giving Tuesday. It's normally the Tuesday after Thanksgiving, when you've heard of Black Friday and Small Business Saturday and all of that. The next Tuesday, and right after Cyber Monday, is Giving Tuesday. But this year, the people who have started that initiative of Giving Tuesday said, oh my gosh, we can't wait until the end of November, beginning of December. We've got to do something now for the nonprofits who are so heavily affected by the COVID-19 pandemic. So they came up with the idea that they would have Giving Tuesday now in May, on May 5th. And that's tomorrow. So it's an international day of giving. You find a nonprofit that you really love and support and really want to make sure survives through this pandemic, and you support them in any way you can, with any amount that you can. So that's one thing that's going on tomorrow. Another thing that's going on that was already scheduled before this happened, it happens every year on the first Tuesday of May, and that's Give Local Piedmont. It's run through the Northern Piedmont Community Foundation, which is out of Warrenton and Culpeper, and they are conducting a 24-hour community give. It's an opportunity for everyone, again, to give to a nonprofit that they believe in. And it also has a few other little incentives and prizes and things like that. So the website for that is givelocalpiedmont.org. And you can search for Legal Aid Works and give to us through that. We can qualify for extra prizes and things like that if we're successful with our donations that day. So either way, we're happy to accept any kind of support, either through our website, which is legalaidworks.org, and you click on the donate button, or you can go to givelocalpiedmont.org and search for Legal Aid Works and donate through that.
Boy, and like you say, for nonprofits right now, some of the funding you got from local governments is going to be down. It really is going to depend on a lot of us, just individuals, to, like you say, give to local nonprofits that you see are making a difference. That is so important right now.
It is. The Give Local Piedmont has always had as its minimum donation $10. So $10 would be the minimum for that particular event. And you think, oh, $10, that's nothing. It's everything to us. We really thrive with the support of the community. And if we have a robust community turnout for this kind of event, it lets us know that what we're doing is valued in the community. We're going to be losing all kinds of different parts of our revenue. One of the biggest forms of revenue that we have coming in is a certain percentage of the filing fee that everyone pays to file a complaint in court goes to legal aid. who's filing court cases now. Very few people. And so the numbers have just completely fallen out of that source of revenue. So we're going to be hustling. We're going to be trying to apply for grants. We're going to be hopefully doing more fundraising throughout the year. This is a wonderful day tomorrow to focus everyone's attention onto the wonderful work in the community that all these great nonprofits are doing.
Oh, it is, and you just just the information you've provided and others in the community, the nonprofits in this area are just, you all work together. It's a great there's a great partnership with a lot of you, and you just would hate to see anything happen, and so that's why it is important for all of us to get involved.
Yeah, and I think that this is a kind of crisis that does two things. It makes or breaks nonprofits, and it also shows you the value of nonprofits in our community. Hmm. Why would somebody undertake a mission like this? Why would I ask that question of myself a lot every day.
Yeah.
But it's because it fills a need. There is no other nonprofit in our community that does what we do. And I think it's an important piece. It's a really important niche that needs to be filled. But it also complements other nonprofits and their work. The work of Empower House is so valuable. It's an amazing resource in our community. And they need us because we're lawyers and we can go into court. We need them because they do such an amazing job of lifting up their clients and supporting them during their journey away from violence. So it's a great combination. We're both better off when each other exist.
Well, and I can't remember her name, but the attorney you brought in for early part of the year, we did a show. She had mm-hmm. such empathy, but was just as sharp as can be. And I just remember thinking, I mean, we're lucky to have you and the folks at Legal Aid Works in this community doing what you do.
We have a really extraordinary team, and they are just so eager to help people. They want to be part of the solution, and they really care about making sure that people get a fair shake.
LegalAidWorks.org. Also, there is a Give Local Piedmont tomorrow, or also Giving Tuesday. Choose which you want to do and get involved, but do get involved tomorrow. And remember, Legal Aid Works. Ann Klockner here. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to wrap up and talk again about housing and talk about some of those dates and what you're looking at with that. When we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. You can weigh in about today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
Ann Klockner here this morning with Legal Aid Works, legalaidworks.org. And again, get involved with them tomorrow on Giving Tuesday. You can go to Give Local Piedmont and see them there. You can go to legalaidworks.org or just Giving Tuesday and get involved in some way with nonprofits and with Legal Aid Works. Before we get out of here, Ann, the moratorium on evictions and that kind of thing, May 17th is when that's up.
That is correct. That's what we've been told so far. There have been three deadlines that have been pushed off and pushed off and pushed off. The first was April 6th. And April 26th, and now the 17th of May. It's possible it could be put off again. Right now, that's the date we've been given for the moratorium on court filing. So everyone is able to file court complaints, there just can't be court hearings until after May 17th. So we'll see what happens either just before then, if they issue another extension of that moratorium. We certainly hope so for a little bit to give people time to recover, but we'll see.
And if you're paying a mortgage or you're paying rent, if you haven't for the last little bit, hopefully you've been in touch with your mortgage company or your landlord. But I guess you need to be formulating a plan, because, like you say, that what you've missed paying isn't going to go away.
That's correct. Nothing in any of these delays or moratoriums or things that put this stuff off have ever said anything about wiping out your debt. So you're still going to owe that. But if you can get together with your mortgage company, maybe do a refinance, maybe come up with some kind of a payment plan that reorders what you pay. Same thing with the renters. The more affirmative you can be and get ahead of this with your landlord, postpone your rent payment, but come up with a payment plan. That's your best option. Do not just hide. Do not just say that, if they can't get in touch with me, they can't do anything. The more proactive you can be to work out a deal with either your mortgage holder or with your landlord, the better.
The Virginia Poverty Law Center is a great website that you've given just about every week you've been on, and has great information along with your own website.
It sure does. So it's vplc.org. That's Virginia Poverty Law Center. They're a wonderful organization, and they've really been helpful during this crisis to really pull together the most recent and updated information for people who want to know about their legal rights. Another great website is nclc.org. That stands for the National Consumer Law Center. They have a wonderful guide there called the Guide to Surviving Debt. And there's also a general legal aid website in Virginia called valegalaid.org if you want to know about legal aid in another part of Virginia. If you want to know about anything having to do with this area, it's legalaidworks.org.
LegalAidWorks.org. Ann Klockner, the executive director here. Ann, thank you so much again. Have a good week. Have a safe week. And we'll talk to you again next week. Thanks.
Thank you.
That is it for Town Talk. Thank you for listening this morning. Again, remember, Giving Day tomorrow in Legal Aid Works. We will see you in the morning.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own, and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.